You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pac-12, where we give you everything you need to know about the Conference of Champions. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, and I am joined by Brian Brown from Locked On Utes. Brian, how's it going today?
Going good. We're rolling in the middle of the season. We're like August is that camp grind, right? Where you're just like, got to get through this. We get to the season, everything's going to be good.
So right.
We're stuck right in the middle of it right now.
Right. Camp is here at the same time with camp being here. That means NFL camps are here. And when NFL is back, that means fantasy football is back. I know some of you are getting ready to draft. So if you have fantasy football questions you need answered before your draft, go ahead and head on over to the Locked On NFL YouTube page and check out the Locked On Fantasy Live. Subscribe now so you do not miss it. And our stable of fantasy experts will answer your questions live or submit them ahead of time to at Locked On Network on Twitter. By the time you hear this, it might have already went live. So just go ahead and check out the recording. I'm sure there will be some advice you can get from that Locked On Fantasy. So don't miss out. I'm probably going to tune in because I have drafts coming up in the next few weeks. And, you know, I'm not trying to lose. I do not like to lose. Fantasy, I'm very competitive. Do you play fantasy?
I do, yeah. And it's getting worse and worse because the punishments for losing are almost not worth it anymore. Like, if I have to go spend 24 hours, we don't have Waffle House out here in Salt Lake. We have Denny's. If I have to go spend 24 hours in a Denny's, there's going to be somebody going to pay for that.
I'm not 100% mad at that as being what happens when you lose. I don't like losing my money. Like, that's my problem. That's a whole nother thing. We'll get into that a little later. But today we are going to focus on Washington State Cougars and give you updates from their fall camp, everything that's happening over there, starting with Nick Rolovich, head coach. As you all know, he did not attend Pac-12 Media Day because he is not vaccinated, a choice he's chosen to make. That is not to say the same thing for his players, because most of them, I think most or not, if not all, are vaccinated. So the latest news with that is the governor of Washington has decided that there's going to be a new mandate, which will probably require all higher education employees, including coaches, to be vaccinated. So if employees refuse to get fully vaccinated by October 18th, their employment will be terminated. So there are two exceptions to this. Granted, I do not know if they will apply to Nick Rolovich. The two exceptions is like a medical or religious exemption, but it does seem like Nick Rolovich has opted to not get the vaccine for personal reasons, which he hasn't shared. So I don't know if he will actually be able to use any of those exemptions. Brian, what does a possible firing before the season starts? Well, no, mid-season, I guess. That's October. That's kind of going to be already season underway. What would that mean for Washington State Cougars?
It's just a very torrid ending to the tale of Nick Rolovich, which really has not had an opportunity to even have some positive notes at this point. It started out last year. Pandemic struck. Players were scattered all across the country. And as Coach Rolovich was trying to gauge what guys were coming back and what guys weren't, it seemed like he took the wrong approach with a lot of the players and telling them what the expectations for the program were. And that caused a lot of, I don't know if animosity is the right word, but it caused a lot of buzz when he told players that opting out was not going to be an option. And perhaps some of it was the way that he communicated that message. Perhaps some of it was the way it was interpreted. That's always the difficulty. And last year, when everything seemed like it was all virtual, it's easy to get things misunderstood when you're doing that. But the problem is that it's continued down the road. There have been, you know, hiccup after hiccup over at Washington State, and they haven't really been able to get out on the field in time to help stem some of those off-season and off-the-field rumors and question marks. You know, the Jaden Delora situation, there's no excuse for that ever, but people do make mistakes, And so they're trying to work through that and make that a decision. But in the meantime, for him to come out and say, no, I'm not getting vaccinated, but I am forcing all my players to get, not forcing, but encouraging all my players to get vaccinated, it sends such a mixed message. And that's really where it, what it comes down to, is that your leadership has been a gigantic mixed message to this point. And so it's fascinating to see what will happen with this. Will Coach Rolovich concede on his personal reasons? Is there more to this story? I felt like at this point in time, when you're the employee of a public school like Washington State, you owe everyone, especially with the amount of salary that you're collecting, you owe everyone a lot more than just personal reasons. We're way past the point to where personal reasons are an acceptable answer when there is so much on the line this year. And you know, we're trending in a bad direction with the COVID. I'm not a COVID expert by any stretch, you know, so I'm not even going to get to that. But what I do think matters is how it affects these games, and especially with the Pac-12 coming out with a ruling that games will be forfeited if you're not able to field the team. It's not going to be just canceled. That's a big situation. And so overall, it could be really bad. I mean, it's just bad. That's the perfect word to describe the entire situation if he does get fired.
Yeah, at that point, too, I'm wondering who will step in as the – I'm sure it'll have to be an interim situation. And, yeah, there's no telling. I feel like, if anything, it's an unfortunate situation for those athletes who have, you know, already gained a relationship with Nick, who look at him as a leader. And, you know, like you said, for him to encourage his athletes to do it for the sake of being able to play and stuff and not doing it as their head coach – It's a bad sign. So Cougar fans, we're in a little bit of trouble right now. I'm not even going to hold you, because this mentality can really shake up a team. A lot of things about sports, period, is a mental game. And having these little issues happening while they're supposed to be getting ready for their season can be very detrimental. We're going to hope and pray for things to turn around for the Cougs and for them to come out still swinging when season starts. But more from WSU fall camp coming up next. If you are someone who, you know, is all about the betting game, when, you know, sports is in full effect right now, baseball's going, basketball's right around the corner, NFL, college football, all around, right around the corner, then betonline.ag is for you. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, like I said, is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game, especially as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. We're talking Washington State Cougars football today, and now it's time to focus on fall camp. We haven't really talked a lot about Washington State as far as the fall camp goes, just quite yet. So this will be like one of those updates where this is giving you as much information as we know. And yeah, hopefully it's a good amount for you guys. Right now we are going to focus on some of the position battles happening up there in Pullman. And one of the main ones, I think is probably an obvious, the quarterback battle, which is happening all across Pac-12. One of those quarterbacks, obviously, is Jaden Delora. Now, it was a huge deal with him being able to return and actually play, and I think it was kind of assumed that he would be the starter, but he has a little competition in Jarek Guarantano and Cameron Cooper. What are your thoughts about the position battle, which I kind of think is more so between Jaden and Jarek, but you let me know your thoughts on that, Brian.
I think that's the interesting part about it is Garantano's the senior coming in there, Cam Cooper, the junior. They're both very similar in skill sets and sizes. Cooper's the lefty who who I think struggled under previous coach Mike Leach. He's a kid that needs more of a hands-on approach. And so since Coach Rolovich has come along, that's really benefited him. And they did kind of a rotation thing last year where they tried to give as many guys snaps as possible at the position. To what ends that really paid dividends, I'm not real sure. It's pretty obvious that the one that has the most potential for boom is Jaden Delora. I think the big question mark with him is the inexperience, number one. Number two, you know, what's his status in terms of actually seeing the field throughout the season? And so that where it boils down to. But I think what's good news if you're a Cougs fan is that you've got guys in there that are in the fight. Now, the lack of consistency from one particular candidate, that's one for concern, right? Because if a guy can't start to emerge by this point, or at least consistently play towards the top or at the top, you know, everybody's going to have an off day or two here in camp. It's just that's the grind of it, that there's a reason why you go through it. There's a reason why we have 20 some odd days of camp and have all these practices and walkthroughs. It's so that you can get better at that, you know, and have those up and down days and learn to minimize them towards the end, so that in the season you just don't have them as much. I think Zach Wilson, as much as I hate to acknowledge it, made a good point with New York Jets. He said, practice is where I go to make mistakes. And that's really what you want happening here. But like, that's the thing, is it's, they're not really making the mistakes. Like none of them threw an interception during the scrimmage, which I think in theory sounds great, right? But no, like you want guys finding out what their limits are, taking their risks. And so because of that, like, you know, you kind of wonder, like, are they playing too tentatively or playing too cautiously, trying not to lose the job as opposed to somebody going out and win the job? Delora was 5 of 7 for one touchdown. Garantano was 4 of 10 with no touchdowns. Cooper was 6 of 7 and connected on a 70-yard touchdown pass. So maybe now he's putting his hat back in the ring, because I think you were right. Originally it was Jaden and Jarrett to start with. So I guess I'll ask you this question. Would you rather this battle go on for a long time and get the right player, or would you rather have the coaching staff make that decision now and just push whatever guy they favor at this point into those starting reps?
I don't know if I want to rush a situation. If you're seeing consistency among all three, I think pushing it further back to make sure who is truly the best won't necessarily hinder you. Yeah. I feel like rushing this situation is only going to result in then the other two not getting as many reps as they would have been, you know, within the battle. So I think that is a plus, like you mentioned, that, you know, whoever becomes your backups is going to have a good amount of skill to where you're not really worried about anything happening to your starter, because you're like, okay, well, we have the backup space. Granted, you do want to get to the point where you're ready to start running with, you know, who's running with the ones, who's running with the twos, because you do want to really game plan for the season. But I think pushing it maybe like another week wouldn't be the end of the world.
No, and it seems like that is the general plan. I think if it's me and I'm going through this, as long as Jaden Delora is showing progress, he's the one that I would likely lean towards, because he does seem to be the future of the program, given, you know, off the field issues aside. Mm-hmm. He has the most pop. He started as a true freshman. He showed some good things. But at the same time, this is a team that really needs some stabilization and some steadying from a leadership perspective. And so that does make it a curious question. And the other part of it too is, you know, if you now see that Cam and Cooper is starting to make that move, does that change some things? I know for sure up front as an offensive lineman, that's a change, because he's a lefty. And so that does modify a little bit how you think about things. And it does kind of take Abe Lucas away from being that blindside protector to being now the front side tackle, which is not drastically different in terms of your protection scheme, but I think it does change how you do things and how you view things.
Well, while we're talking about the offensive line, another position battle is that right guard, where you have Cade Beresford and Roderick Tialavea. I feel like here is a matter of experience, but again, I could be wrong, and I would love to hear your opinion on that. I think there's a matter of, like, at some point it seemed like they would have an opportunity to win a starting spot. And then there was another one in the mix, Connor Gomness. I hope I said that right. But he has been absent. And so, yeah, it's left in between those two. So this is more your realm of and speed of things as a former offensive lineman yourself. Who would you like to see win that starting position?
Well, it's a fascinating question. You mentioned Gomness. He's actually started taking more snaps at the center position after not being there initially. And I think that's partially to build some depth. I think they are pretty confident that Brian Green will be the starting center. So that's good. And really what it is you want the guy who works best with BG to be the starter. Now, whether that's Roderick, who is a bigger, bulkier guard, who has a little bit more force in the run game, a little bit smaller in terms of height at 6'5", compared to Cade Beresford, who's 6'7", you know, but that's really, and that's the interesting part about the offensive line is it's what do you need at that position? You know, like this is a changeover from years past, where it was they wanted those really strong pass protectors, those guards who could be stout up front and not allow a lot of pressure, because now you're going to more of a run and shoot style offense with a lot more in the run game. And so you need a running back you need a running back, but they got a good one. We don't have to talk about Max Borgi, although we love to.
Right. You know, we love Max Borgi.
Yeah, but you're going to need a guy who can get out and get moving in front of Borgi. And so I wonder if maybe Cade Beresford is the guy that kind of takes the edge with that, with his ability. You know, he's really, really tall at 6'7". And so that's very different, because you don't usually have a 6'7" guy at guards. But the fact that he is so athletic, I think that's probably where I'm leaning towards. Plus, he's a guy with experience. And on the offensive line, that does carry a lot of weight. No pun intended.
That was actually a good one, though. All right, coming up next, we will continue to update you about the position battles happening in Washington with the Cougars. But, you know, one thing that would be great for some of these football players right now is a protein bar. Got to keep your energy up, and Built Bar is the perfect way to do that. If you're looking for the best tasting protein bar out there, Built Bar is the one for you. Built Bar comes in 9 delicious flavors, a little something for everybody, from coconut to coconut almond. If you're more into the fruity flavors, they have cherry and raspberry. And then obviously for our chocolate lovers, they have mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. Literally something for everyone. I'm more of a salted caramel type. The best part about Built Bar is that it's healthy. That's right, tasty and healthy. Each bar has about 17 to 18 grams of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in carbs. That's 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Brian, the position battles talk continues. That kind of sounded funny to say all kind of fast. I don't know why. My mouth is moving too fast and I'm not really comprehending what I'm saying. So position battles talk continues, and we're moving on to the safety position now. We're talking about Washington State, just for anyone who hasn't been listening and for whatever reason skipped to the end of this episode. But super exciting, I would say, for one, that the Cougars even have enough talent to be battling, because I don't feel like that's something that we're used to seeing. But in this case, we have – sorry, I had to find it for a second. In this case, we have Khalid Jabril, George Hicks III, Tyrone Hill, and Hunter Escorcia. But it seems like the battle is between Jabril and Hicks at the moment. Hill Jr. Kind of has the situation right now with not being actually in practice from being, I want to say, injured. Yeah, sorry. Reading these slow, sorry. But yes, from dealing with an injury, but, you know, he's coming with a lot of accolades behind him. He's a Jim Thorpe watch list person. So I would say he still has a chance to be in the mix of the competition, but right now who we're seeing competing, who would you say is likely to take the starting spot, Brian?
Yeah, it's a fascinating conversation because I think it's a position where they really need to establish something there. It does kind of feel like right now, other than the quarterback, that's probably the biggest battle that they're having going on right now. You have to wonder, so Jabril's the transfer, Jabril's been the carryover. He's been there, but Tyrone Hill is a transfer from Buffalo. And it seems like he's made some really good strides and some good progress there initially. But I always am curious how well a transfer player can integrate into a system that he's never played in, especially where you have one like Tyrone, who's been somewhere else for so long. And you're coming into a new system, playing with new teammates. Yeah, it's still the game of football, but I think that's the disconnect where you get we look at things so plug and play-ish, right, on our side of things in the media. As a player, it's very different. You know, you're playing technique and style and defensive calls and verbiage that you're not used to. And so I think that always puts you just a little bit behind. I think probably it's George Hicks the third who ends up winning that battle just because he's been there the longest. He's reliable. I think it's an easy guy to sell as a starter, like been in the program, done the dirty work, experienced. And then as you go throughout the season, you can start rotating some of those other guys in a little bit more, seeing who pops. Maybe there's somebody who really starts to make some plays as you get into it. But you know, he's a changeover because he actually started out as a cornerback, now moved to safety. And so I think that also gives you some flexibility with how you play him. It just seems like that's the pick that I would go with if it were me.
Right. Okay. Well, another battle happening is between the, it says specifically Z receiver. I am not as savvy with Z, X, Y, all of that. So I'm just going to say it's a receiver battle between CJ Moore and Donovan Ollie. And the thing about them is they seem to be not too far off in when it comes to their size and frame. CJ Moore stands at 6'4", 190. Donovan Ollie is 6'3", a little stockier at 210. And they both have similar issues with, you know, lacking consistency. But at this point, there's a big chance that this battle won't even need to be a battle. You could see both of them getting a good amount of reps come season.
The receiver is a little bit interesting too with a team like Washington State. Now, if you're talking about, say, a USC or a Stanford where they use a lot of tight end, your Z receiver is always going to go opposite the tight end go flanking the tight end or flanking the split end, which is your X. So essentially what it is it's your second receiver, the one that's going to cause a lot of stuff on the outside to be opened up and try and get over the top. I think that's why CJ Moore makes a lot of sense there, that position, because he's got size at 6'4", 190. He's a speed demon. But Donovan Ollie seems to have been a little bit more productive recently. So it's kind of be, I think it's the consistency issues that really are going to give one or the other the edge there. I think Moore is the better athlete, the better size guy, especially at that flanker position. Ollie being productive more recently, is that going to translate into more consistency? Because that's really been where he's struggled with it, you know, and how much do the drop sees that CJ Moore has kind of gone through really play in and factor in everything. But, I think at the end of the day for that particular position, you want somebody with some size and some ability to go up and get some balls. And if you have to make a move later on, then you can go in with Donovan Ollie and do that later. But I think CJ Moore is the guy who wins out at that battle.
Cougs, we are in good shape as far as having talent. Now we just got to see that talent translate on the field and in some actual games. We can only hope and pray. So things we'll be looking out for is updates on Nick Rolovich. I anticipate more of an answer coming from him before that October deadline so that we'll probably know what's going on as far as with that head coaching position. I say before season starts, but if he decides to wait and let it linger until that deadline, it'll be a little more frustrating on his part because he knows whether or not he's going to be willing to take the plunge and get the vaccine or stick with his gut and, you know, decide to continue to opt out. Something we'll just have to keep an eye on for sure. If you are into betting, definitely check out the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. So follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcast. And as always, Brian, it's such a great pleasure to have you on. You are always the best and always bringing great insights. So we appreciate you so much.
There's nobody that I'd rather do this than with you. We've had a blast, and every single day is an absolute treat. Yeah, that's right, everybody out there listening. Y'all have the worst job when it comes to me and Cindy getting to do this one. So that's the one time where I'm okay with a little bit of jealousy. Y'all can be jealous of us.
There you go. Be jealous. But don't be too jealous. Check out Locked On Pac-12 and Locked On.
Be a part of it.
Right, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And then follow along on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12 and @BrownBearSLC and @_CindyRobinson. We are going to get the keys to Locked On Pac-12's Twitter before the season starts. That is our goal, Michael. Michael. Why I do that? Sorry, Brian. Don't forgive me.
How are you rolling?
I'm going to talk to Michael next. So this is the reason why these things happen. I apologize. But we have to get the keys to the Locked On Pac-12 Twitter account, Brian. It has to happen before season starts. Otherwise, we're screwed.
We got to get it. I want to do some interacting in there. I'm excited for Saturday, sitting on the couch, tweeting about what I'm seeing, what I'm watching. Same for you, I'm sure. We're almost there. We got to get through the season. Got to get to the season. I want to see real football. I don't want to read camp reports anymore. I want to watch things.
Facts. I'm ready to see the actual action. If you're ready to see the action, but, you know, we're not quite there yet, but you still want to hear about everything going on in fall camps, make sure you stay Locked On Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.